You know, I want to share with you today about mothers, of course, that mothers know best. And I only want to share for just a little bit this morning because I know you're excited. On a Mother's Day, we have Mother's Day plans, and you want to get out to brunch or lunch with mother, and or you want to give her a call if she's not able to be with you today. And we want to celebrate by having some muffins and what we do together. So I have a shorter message that I want to share with you today. The title that I've put on my message today is that mothers know best. Mothers know best. And I want to share from you from Matthew chapter 20 and verses right around 20 and 23, just a couple verses I want to share with you. And I believe that you've probably never heard this before, because I've never preached it before, so I would anticipate that you probably never heard it before, even in your church life, because today what I want to talk about is I want to talk about Mrs. Zebedee. Mrs. Zebedee. And you may think, if you looked on your notes, you kind of cheated and got ahead a little bit. But we think, well, who is this woman? And I'm going to share about who this mother is in just a little bit with you. But let's face it, without moms, without our mom, we would be a disaster. Our moms have taught us, they've guided us, they've loved us through our lives. They've picked us up, they've held us close, and they've shown us an example of Jesus, right? That's what mom has done. And so today we honor all moms, all kinds of different moms. There's adoptive moms. There's birth moms. There's foster mothers or foster moms. There's actually even grandmothers and aunties that have stepped in who fill the place of mom, maybe in your life. And so there's all kinds of different moms, but we honor mom today. We honor mother today. We honor mama. We honor mommy. Right? We honor her, that special person that fills that place in your life. This is the day that mothers are rewarded for washing sheets in the middle of the night, for driving kids to school when they missed the school bus, staying up through the night when the kids were sick and they had a high fever. Generally, it's not us fathers who want to stay up through the night, but mom generally will do it. Mom has endured all the long baseball games, the soccer games, sometimes in horrific weather, but mom was there. It is a day of appreciation for moms today, moms that have helped children to finish the things that they thought they wouldn't finish. How many times in your life did your mom get on you about doing something, about finishing your homework, about making your bed, about getting your clothes cleaned, about taking a shower, about whatever it was? Mom got on us to finish those things that maybe we wouldn't have taken care of if she weren't there. She's taken care of us. She's cleaned up after us during our biggest catastrophes, right? During our biggest catastrophes, she was there to clean up. Generally, for us fathers, sometimes we might see it, but we turn and we go in the other direction. Honey, you'll never guess what the kids have done. There you go. You know, only a mother can multitask. So my imagination is that this mother, she's cleaning the dishes, or at least she's about to, because the family just had dinner. You know, and it was maybe a large family around a large table with lots of dishes. And so there's all the dishes there. And maybe she's a multitasker, because that's what moms are. They multitask. They do a lot of things at once. Covered in peanut butter and covered in, I believe it's SpaghettiOs or spaghetti. I'm not sure. How about the next one? Covered in shaving cream. Isn't that the best? Absolutely covered in shaving cream. It's like a helmet of shaving cream. And then you have the little girl who's fallen in the potty, wanting mommy to come save her. We get in such disasters. Is there one more? Oh, there's this one. You know, that's absolutely true, isn't it? So what are mothers? Mothers are teachers, mothers are disciplinarians, mothers are cleaning ladies, mothers are gardeners, some of them are mowers and they mow the lawn, mothers are nurses, mothers are doctors, mothers are psychologists, mothers are counselors, mothers are chauffeurs, mothers are coaches, Mothers are developers of personality, molders of vocabulary, and shapers of attitude. Mothers are voices that say, I love you. Right? Even in the midst of our biggest mess, mom still says, I love you. The job of a mom is an incredible job. It's an incredibly important job. And so there was an interview. Well, first off, let me back up. There was a job posting that was put in the newspaper and was posted online. This was a fake job posting. And then if you responded to this job posting, you had to do like a Skype interview with the gentleman who would be interviewing for this specific job position. And so why don't you take a look at this with me? I told you it'd be worth it. Okay, who's crying? I know, it gets you a little bit, doesn't it? Moms. Moms are so important. Moms know best. One thing I know is that you don't argue with mama, right? You don't argue with mama. She not only really knows best, but she also wants the best for her children. And that's what we're going to see when we look at Mrs. Zebedee this morning real quick. And one thing I know, you've heard that saying that you don't get between a mama bear and her cubs, right? It's the same, and it's true also for mothers, that they want the best for their children, and you don't want to get in their way. You don't want to get in mama bear's way when she's thinking and she's after the best for her children. And maybe we can keep this in mind this morning and we can better understand Mrs. Zebedee. Now, you've heard in the Bible, if you've been around the church for any length of time, you've heard about the sons of Zebedee, right? We don't know what his wife's name is. We have no clue what her name is. We just know that her name is, in my book, she's Mrs. Zebedee. And so the sons of Zebedee were James and John, two amazing and wonderful disciples and followers of Jesus. And so this morning we're going to look at this Mrs. Zebedee and what she was trying to do like a mama bear after what's best for her cubs. And that's in Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to go ahead and read this. It says, Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, it says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. The mother came with her sons to Jesus. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other one on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. And are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones that he has chosen. And so we see this interaction, this interaction between Mrs. Zebedee, James and John, and Jesus. And I'm sure that Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus. At least in my mind, I'm sure she was aware of the kingdom teachings of Jesus. In my mind, I imagine that she was well aware that her two sons were in on the inner circle, what we call the inner circle with Jesus in regards to the disciples. They were part of the inner three, the Peter, James, and John. This was the James and John, but that wasn't enough for this mother bear who wanted the very, very best for her sons. And so she goes after it. I can imagine her that it maybe in this interaction with Jesus that she may have been previously thinking, what role will my sons play in the reality of Jesus and Jesus' new kingdom? What role will my sons play? And you know, just like mothers, they're often thinking about their children and what their children will accomplish and what their children will make themselves out to be and how God might move in their lives. And so when the opportunity presented itself, just like a good mother, she jumped on it. She jumped on the opportunity to ask Jesus an incredible question. When you establish your kingdom, please let my sons sit in place of honor and authority on your right and left hand. Now, we normally think of this question, when it comes up, we normally think, well, that's pretty presumptuous to ask. And that's generally a lot of the teaching that we hear in regards to this question. May James and John sit at your right and left hand. And we think, well, that's presumptuous. It's kind of brash that she would ask that. And so, but today's Mother's Day, and I want to take a completely different look at this. Rather than thinking that she was a presumptuous woman, I want to think that she was absolutely an incredible mother. She was an incredible mother who wanted the very, very best for her children. One thing I think that we need to realize when we read through this text is that Jesus didn't grant her request right then. But the other thing that's important to know is that he didn't deny her request, right? He didn't grant her request, but he also didn't deny her request. She asked. And his response was, well, there's a big price to sit at my right and left hand. There's a cost to this. So she didn't deny that they were able to do that. He didn't deny that they were going to be able to be with Jesus and serve with Jesus and be active in the kingdom with Jesus. But he did say that there would be a cost to it. And then he goes on and he says, it's only my Father who can really determine who's going to sit at my right and at my left hand. Well, Mrs. Zebedee, as I've said, she wanted the very, very best for her sons, right? And ladies, as I look at you in this room today, those of you that are mothers, you want the very, very best for your sons and for your daughters, right? The very best. You don't want second best. Who wants second best for their kids? You don't. You don't want second best. We want the very best. And so I want to just share with you real quickly how she demonstrated that she wanted the very best for her sons. And the very first thing is that she wanted them to be part of his kingdom. She wanted them to be part of his kingdom, of Jesus' kingdom. You can go ahead and put that slide up. She wanted them to be part of his kingdom. First of all, she came to the Lord. She came asking that they would be part of his kingdom. That was really her first request. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, would my sons be there with you? What an incredible request. And as mothers and as fathers this morning, might we make that same request about our kids? Lord, would you allow them to be in your kingdom? Would you allow them to come to know you? Would you allow them to be really close to you, that they might have relationship with you? You see, parenting is not easy, right? It's not an easy task. I have 4 children, and I would say that all of them are wonderful children, but it doesn't mean that it's been easy along the way. There were difficult times with each one of those children. But I think in this passage, Mrs. Zebedee gives us this incredible example of desiring her children to be in the kingdom of God. Do we desire our children to be in the kingdom of God? In such a way that we would position ourselves like she did. It said that she came and she bowed down before Jesus. Are we willing to honor Jesus in such a way that we would bow down before him and we would pray? Because that's really what she was doing, as she bowed before Jesus and she asked. She said, Jesus, would you allow my sons to be with you in this kingdom that you talk about? We hopefully have the same kinds of concerns for our children. I mean, the truth is, what good is it if our children are successful in making money, driving fine automobiles, living in a good neighborhood, but they don't know God? And so she knew the most important thing, the first thing to ask of Jesus. Jesus, would you allow them to be in your kingdom with you and near you? In Proverbs 22 verse 6, it says this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. May our training, ladies, may your training, mothers, may your training, even as you continue in your training, because you never stop being a mother, right? Even if your children don't live at home anymore, you're still a mother to them. You still speak into their lives. May we still continue to train them and equip them and prepare them for the kingdom of God, for the presence and the purpose and the plans that Jesus has for each one of them. Secondly, how did Mrs. Zebedee demonstrate that she wanted the best for her sons? She wanted them to be actively involved in the kingdom of God. She wanted them to be actively involved in the kingdom of God. It's one thing to be a Christian. It's one thing to have the golden ticket, right? Your ticket to heaven. If you've seen the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie, remember the golden ticket. He had the golden ticket to get into the gate. So it's one thing to have the golden ticket to get into the gate, but what do we do about it right now? Are we living lives that reflect the kingdom of Jesus wherever we go, whomever we speak with, in our relationships? Are we actively pursuing the active kingdom of God all around us, the active kingdom of God in our lives, our families, our workplace, and our schools? Well, Mrs. Zebedee didn't want them just to be in the kingdom, but she wanted them to be a real, significant, active part of the kingdom. A real active part of the kingdom. She said, I want them to sit on your right hand, and I want them to sit on your left hand. What an incredible place that they would sit next to Jesus in that kind of way, that kind of way that they would be so actively involved with the rulership of Jesus, with the kingship of Jesus. She wanted her sons to be active in the kingdom of God. Matthew 11, verse 12 says this. It says, the kingdom of God forcefully advances. The kingdom of God forcefully advances. And what Jesus is saying is that to come into the kingdom of heaven and the activity of the kingdom requires deliberate, purposeful, and determined action. It requires an action on our part to actually participate in the kingdom of God. See, it's one thing to have the golden ticket, but it's another thing to actively participate in the kingdom of God here on this earth, in this lifetime. And so Mrs. Zebedee was saying, Jesus, I don't want them just to be in your kingdom with you, but I want them to actively participate with you in your rulership and in the activity of your kingdom. How did she demonstrate that she wanted the best for her sons? The third is that I see that she had big expectations. She had big expectations for her sons. When you're working in a kingdom, now we don't have a kingdom in the United States, but in England they have a kingdom, right? Queen Elizabeth and the king, what's his name? Philip, that's right. So they have a monarchy, they have a throne. Well, when you're working in a kingdom like that, there's no higher position than those on the right and the left-hand side of the king himself. There's no higher position. And so do you see how she had big expectations for her kids? She had really big expectations for her sons. And again, as I said earlier, we may consider Mrs. Zebedee to be brash and somewhat presumptuous, but I admire her. It's this small little snippet that's in the Bible, this little interaction that goes by so fast about her sons and this request to Jesus, this little tiny request, but it was such a bold request before the throne of Jesus as she bowed before him. And I have to ask myself, as parents, do we too often settle? Sometimes settling for mediocrity, not simply in our own lives, but also in the lives of our own children. Maybe we haven't fought hard enough, like Mama Bear, like Papa Bear. Maybe we haven't fought hard enough before the throne of God to fight off the hand of the enemy. To cut off the hand of the enemy, to cut off the lie of the enemy in the lives of our children. And so this incredible woman in this small little snippet, she says, Jesus, can they be with you in your kingdom? Can they be all about you? Can they know you, Jesus? Jesus, can my sons be actively involved in your kingdom, not just attending a church, but really actively involved in the kingdom, wherever they go, outside the building, on a crazy, adventurous mission. And then the third thing, I want them to sit at your right and left hand because I expect big things for them. I have big expectations for my sons. She was imagining pretty big, huh? She was asking pretty big. It's a big request. But you know what the Bible says about that? In Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us." He's able through his mighty power that is at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think, that we might ask or imagine. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Can I read it again? Let's read it again. Just receive this. "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Mrs. Zebedee, just a couple minutes of an interaction. That is motherhood. Just that brief encounter with Jesus. That is motherhood. Mothers, let me just encourage you this morning to never give up. Never, never, never. To never give in to the lies of the enemy. Never, never, never. And let me encourage you, mothers, to always desire the best for your sons and your daughters, because that is the heart of Jesus. When you desire the best for your daughter, when you desire the very best for your son, that is the heart of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to ask that all the mothers would stand. If you're adoptive mother, foster mother, your grandmother that's stepped in as a mother, your birth mother, and I'm going to ask that if the kids can hear my voice, that they would come out. All moms in the room, stand up. And someone might need to go get them because they probably didn't know I was going to go so quick this morning. We're the fourth and fifth graders and also middle schoolers. All moms. There we go. Good. Mom, what we're going to do for you this morning, first off, is I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray God's incredible blessing on you. You know, moms, there's something incredible that God has imparted to you, and he's put within you. It's like a seed. And that seed, for many of you, it's for those of you that are more experienced moms, that seed has grown over the years, and it's bared much fruit, and it's been an incredible journey as a mom. For some of you, you may be newer moms, and you're newer to this journey of momhood, motherhood. And I want to pray for you that seed that God has planted in you, that the enemy wouldn't steal that seed, but it would be really rooted inside you, and that it would bear incredible fruit, not only in you, but also in your children. Would you allow me to do that this morning? Yes.